This morning, we've arrived at the sixth epistle, the epistle concerning Philadelphia. Let's read it.
Johannes, wollt ihr das bei euch zusammen lesen?
So let's read Revelation. Revelation 3. Starting from verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Yeah, praise the Lord. This morning we're coming to the epistle. The epistle to the church in Philadelphia. And this epistle really expresses what the Lord wants. Many of the prior epistles show some of what he doesn't want to have and also what he desires and what he does want to have. In Ephesus, the Lord shows that he wants to have the first love. And he also showed them that they had left their first love and that they needed to repent. And in the church in Pergamos, we see that they let the world enter in. But the church of the Lord and the world have nothing to do with one another. We can never mix the two. That's always the decline of the church. If you mix the church with the world, the church will always lose. Not the world, but the church. And Thyatira was really the lowest point. And so the Lord doesn't just show us nice things. He shows us a whole picture in these days so that we can really see what pleases the Lord and what doesn't please him. And through this, we can also see if we know the Lord. If you know someone, you know what the person likes and what the person doesn't like.
macht eine gute Beziehung aus.
This is what characterizes a good relationship. And we, as the bride of the Lord, in these days, the Lord calls us to really cut off everything that doesn't please him and to turn back to him, to repent, and to gain and to pursue what pleases the Lord. And yesterday, we see how he started to bring the church back from this deep fallen condition and began to restore the church. He made the church living. He mentioned the seven spirits, the seven stars. The Lord is calling people to him to bring his work onward step by step. But it's not man himself that does it. But they are people who work together with the Spirit of God. That's why we need seven spirits and seven stars. And then the Lord can truly restore something. So we see in Sardis, unfortunately, this restoration didn't go all the way to the goal. If we look at the diagram again, it's at Sardis, pretty soon it remains standing still. And the line just goes across horizontally. There's no more upward movement. There's no more ascension. There was a short step upwards, but then it stopped. It remained at a standstill. Why? Because of the spiritual death. Spiritual death is graver and more serious and harder to recognize than sin. To recognize sin is not so difficult. If someone lies, if someone robs a bank, if someone steals something, it's not difficult to recognize this. And that person will realize, okay, I sinned and I have to repent. But how is it if someone is spiritually dead? The problem of spiritual death is that he who is dead doesn't realize it anymore. You have no more senses. You don't realize anymore that you have stopped, that you are at a standstill. That's why the danger of spiritual death is much greater than that of sin. Because you simply stand still. Even if you don't do horrible things, but if you're dying step by step, day by day, you're not going on anymore. And this condition is really horrible for the Lord. It's terrible. And I hope and I pray that we all would be fully safe from all spiritual death in our personal life and also in the golden lampstand where the Lord has placed us and put us. It is so important for us to pray together, to pray every day and say, Lord, really swallow up all death among us. This is so important. In the meeting, there should be no death. In our house, in our families, there should be life in abundance. Amen. Because only through this can we truly go on. And where does the Lord want to go on with us? What is his main goal? We see the main goal in this epistle. It's Philadelphia. The Lord wants a church that is exactly like him. If you would ask me, what is Philadelphia? How can you describe Philadelphia? If we could only use one sentence to describe it, I would say Philadelphia is like the Lord. Then the church is perfected. And we see this in the first verse. The name Philadelphia, I think many of us know the meaning. It means brotherly love. And Who is love? God is love. This is what John tells us. And the Lord speaks to them as the one who is holy. Who is the Holy One? It's the Lord himself. And this beginning alone shows us so strongly that this golden lampstand corresponds to the Lord, pleases the Lord, because the Lord is manifested there, is made visible there. And the nature and substance of the Lord is made visible there, is manifested there. The church today is not primarily a matter of some of our works for him, our doing things for him. This is not what God has put in focus, in the center point, or in the center. It's about our being, our nature. That's what it's about. 1 John 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. And then he says, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Amen. This is wonderful. How can God be made visible? In John 13, he said the same thing. The world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Brotherly love makes God visible. The invisible God and his nature of love, he wants to make this visible for the whole world, for all powers and principalities, through his church and in his church, in that the brothers, the saints, would love one another. And how? Not just in any way, but with fine love, with the love that God has given us. This is strong. To love oneself, many people do that, to love themselves, to love their families, to love their friends. I can't say that people don't love at all. There is a certain type of love, but that doesn't express God or make him visible. Yeah, but his love has to be made perfect in us. He wants his love to be visible among us. This agape love, it's the Greek word for this love. It's a very special word. This is the love that God wants to see perfected in us. Amen. Lord Jesus, what a goal. As I prepared for this, I said to the Lord, this word Philadelphia, I had a lot of respect for this word Philadelphia. I read this epistle multiple times, but just the first sentence already it gave me a certain fear and respect for this word and a question to the Lord. Lord, what does it look like in my life? How much of your love is in my life towards my neighbor? How much of this is truly visible? I asked the Lord, how much does my wife see the love of God in me? Not my love, but from this perfect love of God in my relationship to her every day. Oh, Lord. This is really the top, the climax. This is not so easy, the peak. Yeah, we read 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read this again to give us all an impression of what this love is really like. This agape love suffers long. So if it is provoked, it's not the limit of our patience has not been reached. Love suffers long. In the word, we see how long he bore his people and tolerated them. They were in a bad condition. But this shows how long suffering he is. He carried them 40 years in the wilderness. Were they always obedient? Were they always right there to do what he said and please him? In 40 years, in those 40 years, they carried their idols with them. And still, God didn't destroy them. But he carried them for 40 years and brought them to the goal. He is long-suffering. But how long-suffering am I? With my neighbors, with those around us. Who is perfect among us? I know I'm not perfect. My wife is also not perfect. My sons are not perfect. All the saints, all the priests. Who among us is really perfect? But how much long-suffering of God do we have? How much of this love of God is there in our dealings with one another, in our interactions with one another? I think this is the ultimate test. If we were all perfect, and if we would only see one another for 1 hour once a year and we had nothing to do with one another the rest of the year, then I would say, okay, I am very long-suffering, no problem. With such a brother, I've never had a problem. I don't have a problem with a brother who lives in Southeast Asia and I see him only once every 3 years. Then it's always wonderful and I have no problems. But what about with those who live with me? What about the people, the saints with whom we serve? How many mistakes do we see in one another? We have a lot of mistakes ourselves. And we lack a lot. So in these situations, we can really see how long-suffering we are, how much of God's love is expressed in us. John, the apostle, was so much for the reality. John wasn't interested in what people said. He emphasized our conduct and how we live. If you look at his whole epistle, you can say I have fellowship with him. You can say I love God. But then he asks the question, well, how do you live? 1 John 4:20. Oh, Lord, and this is really a test. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If we can't even be long-suffering with the brother whom we see, how can he love God whom he does not see or whom he has not seen? So, and this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is such a healing word, full of light and full of sharpness. If I ask myself, I say I love God, but how is it with my brothers? How is it with my wife, with my family, with my brothers and sisters? The Lord says, the love of God, it we need so much he needs so much of our cooperation for the love in us to be perfected, because love suffers long, is kind. Sometimes at home, when something doesn't work as we think, and then we speak a harsh word, we speak an unfriendly word, this proves and shows us that God's love has not yet been perfected in us. How I speak with my neighbor, we see that there's still much need and much lack of this agape love to be expressed in us. Oh, Lord, love does not envy. Let's assume someone is going on in the Lord and is such an example and overcomes in things where I don't and serves the Lord, and it looks completely different by me. How do I react? Am I envious, or am I happy that this person is going on? This shows how perfected the love of God is in us and in my heart. Love does not pride itself, does not parade itself. Pride is such a sickness in us. I've really come to hate pride. This is really the nature of Satan. And an expression or manifestation of this is to parade oneself. If things go well, then this nature comes up. But the love of God does not parade itself. It's too glorious to gain this love. It's not puffed up. Doesn't make itself greater than others. Yeah, in our hidden parts, it's so quick that we would come to think of ourselves more highly than others, or think that we're higher than others. And this is dangerous. And that's the point in time where we really have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I hate this being puffed up. I put it to death. I want the love of God to be perfected in me. Yeah, does not behave rudely. Yeah, does not behave in just any way. Even in small things, who do I give to eat first? On which need do I think first in my day? We can recognize in this how perfected the love of God is in us. Does not seek its own. It's so easy to think, oh, how am I doing? But how often do I think about how others are doing? The love of God thinks about how the church is doing, how the brothers are doing. How are the golden lampstands doing? In Zurich, in Bibisheim, in so many places, also in Korea. Oh, Lord Jesus. Is not provoked, or in German it says, does not let itself become bitter. How often there's offense, unrighteousness? Maybe every day. But the word says, the love, that love is not provoked. Love is doesn't let itself be bitter. The Lord was he was offended so often. He suffered for us, but he didn't let himself be provoked or become bitter. Our Lord Jesus Christ is love. And he fully expressed this in his human life. And today, he wants it to be perfected in us. To not be bitter, thinks no evil. This is astonishing. In my head, in my fallen mind, I can think evil a lot and list all the evil things. If someone did three evil things against me, then I know it was three things. But if someone did 10 good things to me, I can't even name one of these 10 things. If someone does one bad thing, then I forget all the 10 good things he did for me. Oh, Lord, this is really an expression of our fallen nature, but his love thinks no evil. does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Praise the Lord. We rejoice in the truth. And in us, there's a real reaction against all unrighteousness. And verse 7, bears all things. Oh, Lord, believes all things. How often do we just give up our faith? If something happens, and we serve among the saints, and nothing happens for a week, and then it looks like nothing happens, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, then we give up praying for the person and contacting the person, my faith is gone. But love believes all things, hopes all things. Yeah, what a wonderful love. Endures all things. How much is there to endure? And if we serve a lot, then there's quite a lot to endure.
Yeah,
if something is said, whether it's right or not, love bears all things. Yeah, and love never fails. Love never ceases. If we read this word, don't we have a hunger for the love of God to be perfected in us? If we read this and I consider it, yeah, there's such a desire in me. On the one hand, there's a feeling of shame. Lord, how little of your love is really perfected in me and among us. But on the other hand, I have this longing. Lord, increase, grow in us. Oh, yeah, Philadelphia is so glorious. Imagine a church where all the saints have this love of God perfected in them. What can this... What can cause the church to waver? Slander, an offense? No, because it thinks no evil. Any type of lack? No, because it believes all things. And love never fails. Oh, Lord, this is wonderful. And this is not our love. It is His love in us. Yeah, His love in us that should be perfected. I made a diagram for myself to make it a little bit visual for us. I had this picture in my heart while I was preparing. It's not a perfect picture. I think, of course, we can make it a lot better, but this shows my imperfection. But maybe it helps us to get an impression of this. So first, we see what Romans 5:5 says, that the love of God, this agape, at our salvation, has been poured out into our hearts when we were saved. Through the Holy Spirit. It was poured out into our hearts. This love of God is in all of us. Isn't this wonderful? This agape is in all of us. Everything that we read in detail in 1 Corinthians 13 is already in us. And now the question is, how come is it such work for the Lord and for us, such work? How come so much labor is necessary for Philadelphia to come forth, for this love to be perfected in us, that it would flow to our neighbors, that it would flow and reach our neighbors so that all the saints and that all people would be reached by this love. How come it's so difficult? This is the problem. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. It's really in us. We have the spirit of love. That's what the word says. But still, as man, we're not just spirit. We, as fallen human beings, surrounding this wonderful nature of God that is in us, we have the nature of the devil, the nature of Satan. It's in our flesh. It's in the flesh of sin. It's the body of sin, the body of death. And we have this self, this ego, this I. It's a big problem. The self is a big problem. And here are a few details I've written here. So the blue part is the heart, which is made of the spirit and the soul. And then the gray part is the flesh and the self. And the words here are some descriptions of the flesh and the self. Fornication, for example, or adultery, that's in the flesh. It's in the flesh of every man. So adultery is not committed when the act happens, but you have already committed adultery. And this holy relationship between husband and wife, if a man already longs or desires for another wife in his heart, then the marriage has already been broken and adultery has been committed. Then this love between husband and wife has already been disrupted and destroyed. This is really terrible. That's why divorce happens in this world. Most, maybe even half of the marriages in Germany end up in divorce. And it is surely one of the reason is that fornication and adultery is in our flesh, is in our nature of sin. So what should we do with this? What should we do with it? What should we do with this fornication? This is what the Lord says. It has to be put to death. Sorry, Thomas. Now you have to be long-suffering with me because I keep jumping back and forth. To accuse one another. The accuser of our brethren is what Satan is called in the word. If something happens, an accusation rises up in our hearts against the brothers, against my neighbor. And this comes because we have our flesh that is fallen. Satan is in our flesh, and they are related to one another. God is the father of our spirit, and God is the father of our flesh. That's what the Lord said in John 8. That's why through our flesh and through ourself, Satan is expressed. And that's why the love of God often is not expressed, but rather the devil himself. And unfortunately, he is often expressed in us. Passion. We heard about the world. What is the world? The world is not the computer or clothing or your job. But the world is when your job becomes my passion, my desire. And when the computer, stirs up the passion and the lust within me. If I definitely want to reach this and that, then this becomes the world for me, because in my flesh, this lust and this passion matches and cooperates with the offer of Satan in this world. So the world is not to have a car, but if I love my car and I have this passion and lust in my flesh that is stirred up via this, then this is the world. And this is all a hindrance for the love of God to be expressed. The love of yourself. Of course, if I only love myself, how can I love others? Covetousness. The world has so much to buy. And if I never have enough, and after I have bought one thing, then I think about, okay, what can I buy next? This is covetousness. This is in my flesh. And this hinders the love of God to be expressed to my neighbor and to have it towards God. What about selfish ambition or looking for honor? How can I love the saints and the brothers if I look for this? A proud person cannot love his neighbor. It cannot bring love to the fallen man in terms of the gospel. And there's bitterness, and there's so much more that's in our flesh and in ourself. But unfortunately, this is what isolates or insulates this love of God in us. It's this layer of fat around the love of God. And so how can the love of God be expressed? The Lord says we have to be strengthened through his Spirit into the inner man. We need strengthening. We need food from the Lord. We need life from the Lord every day. Why? Because if this inner man, this blue circle, is not strengthened, there's no way. No way to overcome and to put to death this gray area of the flesh and self. It's impossible. So it's really important. Let's pray to the Lord every day. Strengthen me, oh, with might, through your Spirit into my inner man. Why? Because we want the love of God to be perfected in us. We want Philadelphia to be brought forth. We want to be this testimony of God today. What do we do when we are strengthened in the Spirit? We take the sword of the Spirit, and through the Spirit, not through ourselves, but through being strengthened in the Spirit, strengthened by the Lord, we can take the sword of the Spirit and put to death all the deeds of the body. And then we can apply the cross, and then we can put to death adultery and fornication. Like he says, pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. That means to really remove the lust that is in your flesh. So all these things that really disturb and disrupt my love to the others. It's not through our own striving, but it's through the Spirit. What about accusation? If we put it to death, yeah, then the love of God can be expressed. If this fallen nature is daily crucified and put to death, then there is a way for the love of God to flow out. Praise the Lord. And if we really crucify this accusation against the brothers, then the love of God can really flow out. Praise the Lord. And then one after the other, we can put these things to death. Passion, the love of the self.
Amen.
Covetousness, we can also put this to death. That I always want something new. I can say, Lord, I do not tolerate this in me. Do away with this in my heart. Do away with this idolatry. I want the love of God to be there. The love of God for my neighbor and for God, not for my car, not for my computer, not for something new, but for you and for the saints. This pride and looking for honor, everything has to be put to death. Praise the Lord. It's so good. If the cross is effective in us. As the Lord says in Luke 9, that we need to have the cross work in us daily. I don't know what your experience is like, but in my experience, this flesh, this self is, it's like it rises up again every morning. Every morning. That's why it's necessary to put to death this fallen nature and to crucify it, but through the Spirit, by being strengthened by the Lord, by being filled with Him, we really have a way. And as it was said yesterday, we have to give room, make room in our hearts for the love of God that has already been poured out into our hearts, that this love of God would grow and increase. Praise the Lord. And when this love grows and increases, then we see so many wonderful characteristics: humility, having a heart full of compassion, kindness, meekness, forgiveness. We all need forgiveness from the Lord every day. Why can I not forgive my neighbor just as he forgave me every day? The Lord even said 7 times 70, we have to forgive our neighbor. This is all a component. These are all components of the love of God. This love and this renewed humanity, they belong together. The love of God cannot be made visible if my humanity is not changed. If I remain proud, then the love of God for the brethren will never become visible. It's impossible. But if I crucify my pride and I say I humble myself before you, then we can really experience how the love of God will flow out of our inner man and flow to the saints. Because the love of God only flows downwards, not upwards. What do I want to say with that? It's only if I humble myself, and if I humble myself under His hand, then the love of God can flow. Only if I esteem others more highly than myself, then can the love of God flow to them. And this applies also and is valid for everyone in this world, not just the saints. For every person in this world, the Lord humbled Himself. And that's why He was able to love all men. There's humility, meekness. It's so good to be merciful. Instead of accusing, we should be merciful and pray for one another. And this word alone, Philadelphia, showed me so much in these days. It is such a cooperation. It's a way to work with Him that we can become Philadelphia. Of course, there are more verses regarding this. The way to love. I wrote a few verses here, a few references. Of course, we don't have that much time today. This shows us how this love develops and what the way is to this love. You guys can write this down, for example. We can send them around as well. For example, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 shows the same thing. That love is the perfect gift that has been granted to us. But through the putting away of all things that defile, by eating of this wonderful humanity of the Lord, God wants to bring us to agape love. Colossians 3 speaks about this. It's the bond of perfection, which is love. But you can't just jump to this, but there's a way towards this love. And everything that we see in this picture belongs to this. To put off all the old and all the fallen things, to be strengthened in our inner man, and to put on His new humanity. Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3, they're all wonderful verses. Yeah, I chewed these verses a lot these days and told the Lord, Lord, may Philadelphia be brought forth more. I want to take this way from you. And when I was preparing, I said, Lord, how can I get there? I see my lack, but how can I get there? And then the Lord showed me these verses. It's really healthy food. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Und jetzt möchte ich noch ganz kurz,
and just very quickly, I want to mention the other characteristics and traits of the church in Philadelphia. To the church in Philadelphia, he says he is the one who is holy. God is holy. Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord make this word Philadelphia great in us. May we keep this word. That when we consider his testimony and the golden lampstand, it's been summarized for me in one word, Philadelphia. This is such a wonderful goal. A wonderful goal that God has with us and that he wants to accomplish with us and reach with us if we work together with him. And the Lord shows his nature here, that he is holy. And in these last few days, I've realized more and more, I want to know more the Holy One. And what does it mean to know the Holy One? The opposite of holiness is not sin. The opposite is common. Fleeting, yeah, or vain. Common. For many years, I didn't have a strong sense for this, to know the difference between holy and common. The whole world is common. Everything is common. The newspaper is not holy. It's not all sin, but a lot of it is simply common. It doesn't belong to God. It's common. And sometimes I, as a holy priest, and holiness is the main characteristic of the priests. And so we, as holy priests, we deal very loosely with common things. We don't distance ourselves from them. And we don't have a sense for it or a feeling that we are holy. I have a holy occupation. I am a holy priest. And all the things that I have to deal with at work, in the news, there's so many things that we interact with. We have to deal with them, but we shouldn't get too close to them and let it get too close to us. If I occupy myself with so many common and vain things, then I realize that my priesthood, I set aside my priesthood. Sometimes I read the news and then I think, how come it's so hard for me to shine, so hard for me to bring incense in prayer? Because we're holy priests. And if a holy priest is so, deals so loosely with the things of this world in such a light manner, then the priesthood is gone. Then the spiritual offerings are gone.
Das ist nicht gut.
That's not good.
Ich möchte mich von dem Gewöhnlichen der Welt absondern.
I want to separate myself from the common things, not because it's important alone, but I want the priesthood to be brought forth so that we can be close and draw near to the Holy One. The more we separate ourselves from the common things, the more we can draw near to the Holy One. And that we can carry out the priestly service more faithfully. In Ezekiel 42, it separates the common from the holy. May the Lord separate the holy from the common in us. May he give us more of a sense for what is common. I don't want to have so much to do with these things. I belong to the Lord. I'm holy to the Lord. It is so good to develop such a sense for this. Because if I deal so much with the common things, then sin is not that far away. At the beginning, my reading of the news or my working at my job is fine, it's good, but if I neglect the holy fellowship with the Holy One, and then sin is not far away. So if we want to stay in holiness and in sanctification and don't want to just be in this constant cycle of sinning and cleansing ourselves, then we need to pursue holiness, as Paul said, and separate ourselves from all the common. Then it is much easier to overcome sin because it doesn't have much room in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord says, He is the true. He's the one who is true. It's about reality. It's not about knowledge. It's about our substance. And he has the key of David. The Lord wants to work with all of us so that his kingdom can be spread out on this earth. But before he can work with us, he wants to work on us and in us. The key is not the first verse of this part of this verse, but it comes towards the latter part of the verse. And in preparation of the conference, there was a picture of what the church in Philadelphia means, and there was a key and also an open door. I said, let's change the picture, because before we have the key and the door and the open door, we need love and we need holiness. Otherwise, if he gives us the key, it won't work. So the Lord has to work on us first. And this brotherly love has to be brought forth in us, his holy nature. And then he will give us the key and tell us, now you can open. Now I will give you an open door. And that's why it often doesn't work if we serve the Lord and when we serve the Lord, because our nature is not okay. But if we have his nature, and if we have his love and his holiness, and if we really consider this, and this is really brought forth, then doing God's work will be much easier. It won't be that difficult. And he will give us an open door. People will come. He will draw them. I don't have to write someone 100 times because the Lord will draw him. Yeah, it is so good to see this order in Philadelphia. And when he comes to the reward, I'm going to jump to the reward. He says that you will be kept from the hour of trial. You won't be there in the day of God's wrath. He will take the saints away from this hour of trial. And on top of that, you get the crown. How glorious it'll be if we all would have the crown on our heads. It's so wonderful. And the way to get this crown is to build Philadelphia today. Because he says, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. If the Lord builds Philadelphia with us today, then we will all gain the crown when he comes. Praise the Lord. So it's worth it to go this way. And the Lord is coming quickly. And we only have to persevere and endure for a few more years. And it's good in these years to persevere. And if we overcome, what will the Lord make of us? He will make us pillars. What's so special about a pillar? If you have a pillar. A pillar never runs away. We as a family are moving now to a new apartment. We're moving all the furniture over, but we're not moving any pillars over. All the pillars stay in the old apartment. and the new apartment we're moving into still has all its pillars intact. You can't move pillars. You can move the chairs from one place to another, the tables, the closets. You can move them all, but you can't move a pillar. And if we overcome and have this stable, steadfast love of the Lord, then, and if we lay aside our old nature, then we can be so steadfast for the building up, and we can carry the burden with the Lord when things go well and things don't go well. Sometimes a meeting is maybe not so good, but then we don't say, oh, then I'd rather go to Zurich and I'll come back when it's good. Oh, it's also not good. Who can I still visit? And hopefully it'll be better when I come back. No. A pillar says we are here. We're carrying the burden with you. And we want to see your testimony go on. And he says, if you love me, then shepherd my sheep. Tend my sheep. And this is the characteristic of a pillar. Let us really take care of one another, shepherd one another, and really have this strength and love within us to carry also the needs of the saints, not through ourselves, but through the Lord. This is just a touching the first parts of what the Lord is telling us in the church, in the epistle to the church in Philadelphia. So let us continue to seek him to gain the reality, so that he can gain the goal with us. And so Philadelphia would be brought forth. Amen.
Amen. Möge der Herr wirklich dieses Ziel,
diesen
goldenen Leuchter an jedem Ort mit uns bauen.
May the Lord really build this golden lampstand in every place with us. This is such a prayer and such a burden of the Lord. So thankful to the Lord that we can see the goal and see the way to get to this goal. And I have this desire anew in me. I want to go this way with you, with all the saints, to reach the goal. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Ja, amen. Möge der Herr uns alle stärken.
May the Lord strengthen all of us. That we would preserve the word and not let it be robbed from us. And that it would also be brought forth through us. May the Lord strengthen us all into our inner man. Praise the Lord.